All right, next, Professor Rauser, and this is while being very positive of my book overall, he begins part three of his review, stating, according to what I call the strong harmony thesis, the Bible includes teaching explicitly supportive of homosexual relationships. Michael Brown focuses most of his energy on rebutting the strong harmony thesis, and he does so ably. He's especially adept at lampooning exegetical and theological attempts to find pro-gay passages in the Bible. So he calls this the strong harmony thesis. In other words, does the Bible explicitly have teaching supportive of homosexual relationships? The answer is absolutely not. And he says, I did a good job of showing that. But he says there is the weak harmony thesis. And that would concede that the Bible offers no direct support for homosexuality. But proponents of this would argue, this is because the Bible has no conception of homosexual identity as we understand it. In other words, the authors of the Bible worked within the context of the world in which they lived. And what they condemned was what they saw, which was homosexual promiscuity, homosexual pederasty, homosexual prostitution. But they didn't have a concept of homosexual identity, or that this is someone's natural attraction, it's as natural for them as heterosexuality is for someone else. And because they didn't understand that, they didn't speak against that, and that's one of the major arguments that's raised. And he doesn't believe I did as good a job of refuting that. Now, he didn't note my citation from Professor Anthony Thistleton, who noted that Paul would have encountered non-abusive committed same-sex relationships similar to what we see today. But even if we put that statement aside, after I did my little radio debate with gay author Matthew Vines, I provided citations from other scholars that refute this weak harmony thesis, demonstrating that ancient authors, roughly contemporary with the writers of the New Testament, discuss concepts like inborn sexual orientation, and they were aware of committed long-term same-sex relationships. It's also possible that ancient Jewish writings that Jesus would have known condemned same-sex so-called marriage. Plus, we know that Jesus knew what was in people, John 2:24-25, that he responded to people's secret thoughts, Luke 7:39-40. So he would certainly know what was in the heart of someone who was same-sex attracted and struggling. Jesus would certainly know what was there. So the weak harmony thesis fails as well. Number one, we can argue that the biblical authors lived in days that in many ways were similar to ours, that even though they didn't have all the same concepts we do about, quote, sexual orientation, there was discussion among the ancient authors as to whether someone was born with a lesbian attraction or, you know, an astrological phenomenon or something like that. These things were also discussed. And again, there were examples of gay couples in long-term same-sex relationships, and there was Jewish discussion, possibly in the days of Jesus, that talked about God condemning the world back in Noah's day because men were marrying men. All that to say, the so-called weak harmony thesis also fails miserably.